Our next article is called A Legacy of Lutheran Storytelling. It's compiled by Living Lutheran staff. Living Lutheran and its predecessors have been telling the stories of God's people living their faith for nearly two centuries. The formats, distribution frequency, and even church bodies representative changed for these publications, but the core mission to share the good news through Lutheran stories hasn't. Next year, we will continue to find new and further-reaching ways to tell those stories at livinglutheran.org and beyond. And we will continue to find ways to serve, connect, and share stories of Lutherans all across the church. In this final print edition and audio edition of Living Lutheran, we seek to honor the legacy of Lutheran publications whose traditions we have continued and to mark some of the major milestones of our history. So what follows is not a comprehensive timeline of every meaningful event in the life of the church, but rather a collection of notable ways our publications have covered and helped shape the conversations around some of these vital moments in both the world and church events. The Lutheran Observer launches. The American Lutheran publications begin with the launch of the first issue, the Lutheran's predecessor, the Lutheran Observer in Baltimore. Then the Lutheran Standard, and that was 1831. In 1842, the Lutheran Standard first publishes. The Lutheran Standard was published in Columbus, Ohio, following the formation of the American Lutheran Church in 1960, and it merges with the publications of the ALC's predecessor church bodies. In 1860, the Lutheran is established as In 1919, it consolidates with several publications, including the Lutheran Observer. In 1941, following the December 7th attack on Pearl Harbor, the Lutheran Herald publishes a statement policy written by the editor. On this Lord's Day evening, December 4th, 1941, there seems to be no doubt that war is here, the peace begins. Congress has not yet met to consider the attack by Japan, but there can be little doubt that the morrow will see a declaration that a state of war exists. And it goes on to declare that the Lutheran Herald will remain unswervingly true to its primary objective, that of serving the Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. And to that end, we shall offer the gospel of reconciliation and comfort and rebuke sin and evil wherever it is found. And then the war ends in 1945, and the cover of the July 30th edition of the Ansgar Lutheran, the English publication of the United Danish Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and subsequently the United Evangelical Lutheran Church, included two photos. One features the employees of the Naval Ammunition Depot in McAlester, Oklahoma, who are participating in a prayer service offered by Chaplain Jaeger on VE Day and celebrating the Allies' acceptance of Germany's unconditional surrender. In 1954, the Lutheran productions were given an original indulgence. In December 21st, the Lutheran Herald, the publication of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, includes a photo of Johannes Stuhlmacher, manager of the German production company Luther Film, presenting an original parchment indulgent authorization issued on behalf of Pope Leo X in 1516. It's being presented to leadership of the Lutheran Church Productions, sponsors of the popular 1953 film Martin Luther, which depicts the abuse of such indulgences. In 1957, the Lutheran Standard publishes its Lutheran World Federation Assembly issue covering the Third Assembly held in Minneapolis. In 1963, following the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing, the Lutheran Standard runs a news report Nation protest mourns murderous Birmingham, Alabama explosion, the terrorist bombing of a black church in Birmingham, Alabama, by members of the Ku Klux Klan killed 4 children and marked a turning point in the U.S. civil rights movement. An editorial, "Who Threw That Bomb?" runs in the October 22nd edition. Ewald Bash, a pastor serving in the ALC's youth department, is quoted as saying, "All of us should put ashes on our heads as a public acknowledgement of our guilt in this." In 1960, the May edition, The Lutheran, reports on church groups participating in sit-in demonstrations at lunch counters in southern states to protest businesses' segregation policy. And then it runs a photo of black and white clergy members forming a picket line on Fifth Avenue in New York City, marching at a chain store in support of desegregation of Southern businesses. In 1962, the Lutheran Standard publishes the article "Cuba from My Window" in its November 20th edition. The piece is a first-person account by Lambert Bros, a Lutheran pastor, about the Cuban Missile Crisis. In the October 28th edition, 1968, One Giant Step Toward God, a story on the theologians and ministers reacting to the June moon landing. The magazine reports that the chaplain aboard the USS Hornet aircraft carrier during the welcome ceremonies for astronauts Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins was John Pirto, a Lutheran Church of America pastor. In 1964, the cover of the January 1st edition of the Lutheran depicts Franklin Clark Fry and his wife Hilda boarding a Pan American airplane with the headline, "The Frys Fly." Fry was elected president of the United Lutheran Church in America in 1944 and was known as Mr. Protestant due to his ongoing efforts toward unity among Protestant church bodies. In 1969, the results of a questionnaire about the Vietnam War, designed by 9 Protestant church magazines and included in the edition of the Lutheran, are shared in its March 27th edition. More than 7,000 Lutheran readers responded to the survey. In 1968, following the assassination of Martin Luther King, the Lutheran runs "I Shared Dr. King's Last Day" in May. It's a first-person account by then-Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago student Harold Wesley Varner, who was a few feet away from King when he was killed. In 1974, in January, about 400 students and 40 members of faculty majority of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Concordia Seminary in St. Louis walk out on strike to form Concordia Seminary in Exile, later called Christ Seminary or Seminex, following a schism in the LCMS. In 1987, on April 30th, the ELCA is formed by the merger of the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, which itself formed from 200 congregations that left the LCMS following the establishment of Seminex. The ALC and the LCA, and at the ALCA Constituting Convention in Columbus, Ohio, the May 20th cover photo from that Lutheran features the first ELCA officers, Bishop Herbert Chilstrom, Secretary Lowell Allman, Vice President Christine Grumm. In 1990, the falling of the Berlin Wall in November, the Lutheran runs a cover story, "Breaking Walls, Building Bridges," for its January 24th, 1990 edition. In 1999, on October 31st, Reformation Day, the signing of the Joint Declaration of the Doctrine of Justification by representatives of the Vatican and the LWF in Augsburg, Germany occurs. In 2001, the 9/11 special coverage of the Lutheran, the November issue is devoted to coverage of that terrorist attack on September 11th. Stories highlight New York City clergy and congregational response to those events, Lutheran first responders on the scene and what they're experiencing, how Lutheran Arab Americans fear hate crimes, which rose significantly following those 9/11 attacks, theologians offering points of reflection on the attack. In 2005, following the devastation of Hurricane Katrina in August, those articles in the Lutheran are devoted to stories about how Lutherans are impacted and responded to the deadly cyclone. The November cover story features ELCA congregations that have provided housing to families displaced by Katrina. In 2016, the Lutheran changes its name to The Living Lutheran, launched with an April issue. After having been one of the earliest church magazines to go online, the new name and its enhanced website look to focus on continuing to widen its digital presence and further its reach. In 2017, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation is observed, and beginning with its January issue, the Living Lutheran publishes a 10-month series, Reformation 500, exploring 500 unique aspects of the Reformation. The October lead feature, Freed in Christ to Serve Its Neighbor, 500 Years of Lutherans in Action, explores how the ELCA's Reformation roots guide the Church's many ministries and actions today, and the moment's Lutheran crossroads will determine its future. In 2019, ELCA becomes a sanctuary church. The churchwide assembly, held in August in Milwaukee, voted 718-191 to approve a memorial that declares that ELCA to be a sanctuary church, becoming the first North American denomination to do so. Living Lutheran, in its lead feature, said sacred hospitality examines what it means to be a sanctuary denomination and how the declaration builds on the Church's commitment to accompany migrants with protection, advocacy, representation, and opportunities through its Amparo strategy, approved by the 2016 Assembly. In 2020, COVID is declared a pandemic. In March, the novel coronavirus COVID-19 is declared a global health emergency by the World Health Organization, upending life for people and institutions, including the church across the world. Throughout the year and subsequent years, Living Lutheran publishes news stories covering the unique and powerful ways that ELCA members, leaders, and congregations responded to the moment and how the church can move forward, as well as reflections about the theological lessons the unprecedented time offered. In 2024, the next chapter of Living Lutheran unfolds as an all-digital publication. We will continue sharing the stories of the ELCA, your stories, into the next era of storytelling for our church.